Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tejas Networks Limited Q3 FY24 earnings call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashvik Jain from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining on Tejas Networks Limited Q3 FY24 result conference call. We have Tejas Networks management on call represented by Mr. Anand Athreya, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director, Mr. Arnab Roy, Chief Operating Officer and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Sumit Dhingra, Chief Financial Officer, and Dr. Kumar N. Sivarajan, Chief Technological Officer. I would like to invite Mr. Anand to initiate with opening remarks, post which we will have Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening. Welcome to the FY24 Q3 earnings call. This is Anand Athreya, CEO and MD of Tejas Networks, and I have here Arnab Roy, COO, Sumit Dhingra, our CFO, and Dr. Kumar Sivarajan, our CTO, who is on the call. I'm just happy to inform you that we had a very strong revenue growth this quarter of 560 crores, and the last nine-month revenue in FY24 exceeded the entire FY23 revenue. We have a strong order book of 9,028 crores. We had a loss of 45 crores in this quarter, and we continue to focus on execution and also investment to set Tejas for good growth in the coming quarters. Thank you. I'll now hand it over to my colleague Arnab to go over the details for this call.
Thanks, Anand. So in the next few minutes, I kind of give you a kind of a color of the business that we had in Q3, and after that, our CFO Sumit will walk you through the details in the financials. So first of all, we continue to see good business traction both for our wireless business as well as our wireline business. So for our wireless, I think one of the big things is that we have continued to ramp up our BSNL 4G RAN shipments. It's like several thousands have been shipped, and there's a combination of radios in Band 1 and Band 28, both single band and dual band radios. As a continuing part of this project, we've received additional purchase order of 107 crores for additional sites as part of this network build-out for BSNL 4G. And another important highlight has been our subsidiary Sankhya Labs received 96 crore provisional purchase order from National Space India Limited, from Department of Space, for the deployment of two-way SATCOM transponders for communication and support system on marine fishing vehicles. So this is a very niche application, and this is part of the vehicle tracking system solution that Sankhya has. And this particular solution, this particular application is for enhancing the safety and security of fishermen deployed who are operating along our coastal waters, providing navigation assistance and weather alarms and boundary crossing alarms and so on. So very, very strategic project, and this will have many other applications, both land-based as well as marine applications. And we will look forward to seeing how we can replicate this success in other countries as well as in other applications as well. So we also continue to see strong traction for our wireline business. After successfully deploying 150+ channels, WDM channels, 100G channels on an alien wave network, lighting up several thousand kilometers of fiber on an existing WDM infrastructure, we received an add-on order for a pan-India deployment of a similar size. So this is a very unique application that our WDM equipment really serves, where given an existing optical infrastructure that an operator has built and he wants to add capacity onto that by adding additional data channels, we provide the technology which can do it on any foreign infrastructure, in the sense that infrastructure built by any other operator's equipment. So for the BSNL 4G network, for the radio network, we also started supplying the backhaul equipment of IP and TLS routers. If you remember, we had announced this as a project with several of several hundred crores for deploying more than 15,000 routers. And this will enable the backhaul network of the BSNL 4G nationwide network. Few highlights also are successfully commissioning a high-capacity metro network in the U.S. for video production and distribution applications. This is using our state-of-the-art WDM transmission equipment of 600 gigabits per channel capacity. This is going to be a good showcase reference network for us, and the application is for low latency network for distribution of video. We also executed a commercial contract for supply of optical networking backbone equipment for a leading government telco in Africa. This is the initial order, and with the success of this, we expect to see future build-outs in this network as well. We also continue to see success in the utility sector. I mean, as you know, our utility business in India is very strong, especially for the modernization of utility networks in India, and we could replicate the same success for a leading power utility in Southeast Asia, where his older TDM-based network is getting upgraded with PTN and MPLS-TP technology. So the same the project that we've done in India, we've been able to replicate in other countries as well. And on the same token, in our power utility company in India, we've commissioned a high-capacity national optical backbone, including the access portion of the network, using a combination of our PTN as well as our high-capacity WDM network. So from a revenue perspective, in the 9 months of 2024, around 55% of our business has been for India private, and let me also tell you at this point that our BSNL 4G radio order, we consider as part of India private because our direct customer is TCS, and that's how we categorize our revenues. The international has been 15% of our business up to now, and the government has been the rest. We have a strong closing background, backlog of 9,000 crores, out of which international is at 221 crores. So in all aspects, this has been a very good quarter for us, especially compared with our business, our revenues in FY23. I'll now hand it over to Sumit to walk us through the financial update.
Thanks, Arnab. Good evening, everyone. Our consolidated revenue for the quarter 3 of FY24 was 560 crores. This is more than double the revenue we reported in the same quarter previous year. As compared to the previous quarter, that is quarter 2, we've grown at a 41% growth rate. EBIT for the quarter was negative 56 crores and PAT was negative 45 crores. On a 9-month basis, we had aggregate revenue of 1,144 crores, which is a growth of 84% over the previous year. We continue to make our investments to ramp up the R&D team and our operations, which are essential to deliver the growth potential that the company has going forward. Moving to some other financial details. We have net worth of 3,000 crores as of December 23. Inventory of 2,683 crores. The inventory has grown as compared to the previous quarter. This is mainly to secure non-lead items that we require for meeting our delivery timelines for some of the larger projects that we are executing. Trade receivables stand at 855 crores. We had cash and cash equivalents of about 559 crores at the end of the quarter with borrowings of 274 crores. This is essentially for funding the working capital requirements that the company has at this point in time. With this, I'll hand it over to Arnav to take this.
So a few other updates from a corporate standpoint is that in this quarter we received several awards and recognitions. We were granted 31 patents for Tejas and its subsidiaries during Q3 FY24, and our total patents grew to 313. An important recognition was a recognition by Gartner as a representative vendor in its market guide for optical transport systems. So basically a leading global analyst will be tracking our business and also kind of using our business to attract the global market for optical transport. In one of the events that happened in Q3, which is NetworkX in Paris, this was the erstwhile Broadband World Forum, our FTTH solution won the award for the leading PON-based smart city solution for an application, smart city application that we have built in India. I think the Indian Mobile Congress in New Delhi this year, our 1600 optical and packet transmission product was selected as the best Indian IPR of the year in telecom. From the corporate update perspective, from a Sankhya Labs merger, that's in progress, and we have made good progress over here. And the next upcoming event over here is the equity shareholders and unsecured creditors meeting. They're going to be held in early February, as per the directions of the NCLT. So this is basically the next step in the merger process. So before I hand it over for questions, just wanted to refresh all our investors in terms of our products. And as you know, we have a very comprehensive wireless and wireline portfolio, comprising our 4G, 5G radio and baseband units, our multi-gigabit fiber broadband access, our converged access and edge solutions, and also our high-capacity WDM used for building backbone networks. And on top of that, we've added our switching and routing portfolio. So, altogether, these products can build complete end-to-end networks for any operator. And now the unique selling points is that all of it is managed using a single network management system.
Next one.
And using this technology, some of the key applications that we serve is 4G, 5G mobile networks, as well as their backhaul network, fiber-based backhaul networks, services for wholesale and enterprise data, building critical infrastructure for power, gas, utilities, and for home and business broadband. All of these sectors are showing high growth globally, and we are in markets, products and applications where we see very good growth in the upcoming future. So thank you. So with this background, I'd like to hand it over for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Santosh Sinha from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is regarding this margin. We have seen a low margin for this company. So what kind of margins we can expect for the BSNL project and other government projects that the company is executing? And second is regarding the trade receivable, increase in trade receivable. What has caused this? And what kind of trade or working capital increase we can see from the execution of this BSNL project?
So, on the margin front, you know, while we don't give any guidance on the project-specific margins, what we've also stated in the past is that wireless segment, to begin with, may have slightly lower margins compared to the wireline segment. But you know, given the order of magnitude of the project and the opportunity, it would on an aggregate basis compensate for the lower margin percentage. And on the working capital, could you please repeat the question? I didn't get the first part.
So, there has been a marked increase in the trade receivable. So what actually has caused this?
Trade receivables. Yeah.
Yes.
So, as you would see, our revenue for the quarter was 560 crores. That's a reasonable accretion in revenue compared to the previous quarter. And a part of this is what has contributed to growth in receivables, and we're expecting, you know, these to be realized over a period of next few months.
Okay. My next question is regarding the BharatNet project. Any idea, means any color you can give, means in terms of when this project execution will actually BharatNet 3 will start, and what kind of opportunity that can create for Tejas?
Yeah, so I will take that one. So the BharatNet project is currently under definition. I think the project authorities, BSNL, BSNL are actually working through, and DOT are working towards finalizing the specs of the project in terms of the scope and the exact technologies and the specifications of the equipment that will be procured for this project. And the technology and the products are very much accessible, addressable by Tejas, and we look forward to significant success in this project as well, because we have the products and the technology that is being called for in this particular project. So this is going to be a very exciting opportunity for us going forward. So in terms of timeline, right now from what we know is that the specs are getting finalized. The government is in conversation with all parties regarding finalizing the specs, and the tender should get rolled out in the next few months and start getting executed towards maybe the later half of the
My last question, last two questions. One is whether there are other POs that are expected with respect to BSNL project, like maintenance projects or other projects that are expected with respect to BSNL project from TCS or IDI?
Yes. So the BSNL project for the 4G RAN. As we know, that this is for the first 100,000 sites. So there will be additional sites for additional coverage across the country. So that is expected to come. That's one part. And second part is that the tender also calls for a 5G upgrade of 40,000 sites. So that part of the business has not yet come to us. I think that will happen subsequently after the initial network gets deployed. So this tender also has a scope for additional business for us as part of this project. And
well, thank you.
After the network is deployed and after the warranty period, of course, the services are involved for many years. That will come later on.
Well, thank you. Thanks for taking our question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vimal Jamnadas Gohil from Alchemy Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is again on the cost front. If I were to look at the raw material cost, the sequential growth in raw materials cost has been higher as compared to the revenue. Is it mainly because of the increase in the wireless business, or are we still sort of the problem of, you know, increased component prices for us is still not completely behind? That's question number one. The second question is on working capital. So if I were to see starting this year, FY24 till date, we have had incremental inventory of roughly 2000 crores. And just to take forward Santosh's question here, if I were to look at our working capital days, right now we are operating at around 213 days versus, you know, our working capital was down considerably last quarter at about 150 days. I mean, when I, sorry, our inventory days were down by almost 150 days. Now it is at 213. So if you can highlight this incremental inventory of 2000 crores, the timeline of realization of revenues, if you can help us with it. Thanks.
So maybe I can take the margin cost question first and request Arnab to supplement that. I think the increase in raw material costs this quarter is actually more on the account of factors, multiple factors, I would say. One is essentially the product mix within the wireline segment, which essentially tended towards slightly lower margin products during this quarter as compared to the previous quarters. That essentially is one of the key factors where you would see why the material cost as percentage of them has gone up. Also, from a contribution standpoint, if you see this quarter, export revenues were slightly lower than the previous quarter, which had an incremental impact on the material cost as a percentage of revenue. These are the key aspects as to why material cost looks a bit higher. As we go along, I think we would expect the project profitability for wireline business also to kick in and some of these things to normalize over the next quarters. Arnab, you want to add anything?
Yeah. So just to add to this, in terms of margin profile, if you see when we ship equipment for our network, there are different components of the network where, you know, we come at different margins, right? Where the blended margin is, of course, what it is that we have for the company. But, for example, in a network, the access part of the network, they have customer premise equipment, the lower capacity, lower cost devices, they usually have lower margins, but as we move deeper into the network and go to the higher capacity elements, that's where the cost and the margins are also much higher. So what happens there in the network, typically it's a blend of all of these things that go on, and that's what the blended margin comes to our the margin that we are aware of. So in this, what happens is that quarter by quarter, based on the blend up shipment that happens, you know, there is a small amount of margin movement, some amount of margin movement that also happens based on the blend of shipments, right? So I think in this particular quarter, based on what we have shipped out during the quarter, it has gone more heavily towards the lower margin components, which will get compensated in the next quarter by the other part of the network that we want to ship. So it's like a one-off temporary phenomenon in terms of, that's why you see the higher cost with respect to the special revenue.
And so on the working capital, incremental inventory?
Yeah, so on the working capital front, I think, see, we are in the middle of executing the large projects, particularly on the both on the wireline and the wireless side. Now, as we mentioned in the past as well, in order to manage the lead times for some of the key components, and to be ready for execution, we've been taking inventory action for specific situations, specific components, and that has sort of getting reflected in the inventory number that you see. The point to note also is that while if you look at it from the days of current revenue, I think it may throw up a picture where you're referring to, let's say, 200 days, etc. But given the phase that the company is in and where it is evolving from the current revenue levels to executing 9,000 crores worth of order book over the next few quarters, I think the increase in inventory has to be looked at in context of that number, right? And as we go forward, this 2,600 crores worth of inventory is essentially to be predominantly used for some of these large projects which will get executed over the next few months. And hence, you know, this increase in inventory as, let's say, days of order book, if one were to look at it that way, maybe a better metric to look at as instead of days of revenue or the historical data in the context of where the company is right now.
Understood. And so just one follow-up on the margin part, as you explained. So if I understand it correctly, there are some components in the wire line side, which happens to be, by the way, our better margin business, but there are certain components within that also, which are probably like a maybe a pass-through or have lower margins, which are higher in terms of mix this quarter, which is causing a lower gross margin. Is that understanding correct, sir?
That's correct. The network always has a blend of equipment, as is so the entire equipment, where I talked about the lower cost access equipment customer premise, where the margins are lower, and the aggregation and the core has higher cost and higher margins. Another example is in our WDM network, the traffic carrying equipment at the endpoints, they have which is actually pumping hundreds of gigabits and terabits of traffic. They have the higher cost and higher margin, whereas the transmission chain with the optical component, they have a lower margin. So as a ship or network, it's the blend of this is what gives us the overall margin. And in this quarter, you know, the blend has been one part of it, and you know, as we ship the other components of the network, the you know, the blended margin for that particular network or that particular shipment will come back to.
So this that shipment is expected. So the higher capacity shipment where our margins are higher is expected to kick in from Q4.
Yes. This is part of the same project. So part of it gets executed in Q3. Part of it gets executed in Q4. So that sounds good.
Understood. All right, sir. Thank you so much. There are certain other questions, but I think I'll join back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sangam Iyer from Consilium. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sorry to harp on the working capital again. You know, the receivables that we saw shooting up significantly in this quarter, was it primarily due to shipments more happening towards the latter half of the quarter? Or is this the new norm in terms of the receivables for this, you know, execution of this project? Just wanted to understand that first.
See, it's related to the revenue that got shipped during the quarter. And we'll collect this based as per the payment terms and as per the collection cycle as we go along over the next few months. Not specifically limited only towards the end of the quarter.
Okay, because you know, for an incremental, you know, 560 odd crores of revenue generated, our receivables went up by 370 crores. So that's why I was just trying to understand, you know, what's the kind of payment terms for this particular project, because the project is large and this could actually stretch the balance sheet incrementally, given that our cash balance, net cash balance, has also come down to 200 or so. So that's why I was just trying to understand how to look at the incremental cash flows that would come in based on the execution of the project.
So I think while, as Sumit explained, it must do the shipment profile, but usually during the quarter, the shipments all build up so that, you know, as the quarter progresses and towards the end, like any other business, the volume shipment increases over the week as it goes towards the end of the quarter. So from that point of view, yes, I mean, the larger volumes happen in the subsequent month and towards the subsequent week and so on. But I don't think most of this is connected to the time at which the shipment happens.
Got it. And secondly, on the margin front, you know, I understand that, you know, you have product mixes that can alter a margin on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So on an annualized basis, when we look at the mix of order backlog that we have and the mix changing towards more wireless. Should one be looking at closer to 30% as a base case stable state gross margin, or is that something too early to predict for now?
What was the number you mentioned, the margin?
Around 30% gross margin. Is that something which would be more stabilized given the kind of mix that we have between wireline and wireless in the order backlog?
See, we don't give any guidance on margins kind of thing, right? But you've seen our blended margins in the past, and directionally that's where we'll be at as our business continues.
Got it. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saloni Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Hello.
Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, this is Manish Oswal from Nirmal Bang. I have a question on our export opportunities. So how we are seeing the traction over there? And secondly, the investment which we are making on R&D side, so how long this will continue? Because in the presentation we said that loss because of the R&D investment. So the investments in R&D, how long it will continue at this pace? Thanks a lot.
So as far as exports are concerned, I think we have a focus in growing our export business, because of which we continue to invest in international territories, in our direct sales force, as well as signing up with partners in different territories. So our goal is to increase our international business substantially. But as you know, we started the process in a couple of quarters, and it will take some time to really there's a gestation period to bringing initial deals and getting a footprint in different countries and building on top of that. So it is going to take some time before we see large projects internationally, which we are replicating what we have in India. But I think the investment and the focus is certainly over there. As far as R&D investments are concerned, I think R&D investments are going to happen for some time, because there is a lot of products and a lot of technology as well as project commitments that we have upcoming. So we will continue to invest, but at the same time, I would say that as our business grows, as we keep delivering on the large backlog that we have, I mean, that business will certainly start offsetting the investments that we have seen up to now on the fixed cost and so on. But investments will continue to happen for some more time. So we see a large opportunity going forward. It has to be a global company with world-class products. So we still have some time in terms of investment expense.
Thank you, sir. All the best. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mukul Garg from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Couple of questions from my end. First, to Anand. Anand, I was just trying to understand the revenue you guys have recognized for international business this quarter. It seems a bit low compared to, and especially when during the prepared remarks, you guys have mentioned that you guys, implemented a couple of, kind of solutions in US and in Africa. So can you just help understand, is this more about timing mismatch between the kind of revenue recognition and implementation, or is there something else which is going on for the international revenues to kind of show such a large dip in this quarter?
Hi, Mukul. So yes, it is actually a timing mismatch. We are making the necessary investments to build the team out. I'm sure you know this, so it takes time for that to materialize. There's a lot of activity and proof of concepts and customer interest that's happening in Americas in particular. So we hope that will start bearing fruit in the coming quarters.
Understood. So, do you expect the international revenues to, kind of see a meaningful ramp-up from here? Because this crore, am I getting the number right? It's only 9 crore of international revenue?
No. No, I don't think so. I don't think that's correct. We don't give the split of this thing, but that's not correct. And as Anand mentioned, yes, there's a timing gap because we ship in one quarter, project implementation happens in another quarter. So whatever we're reporting in terms of project implementation is something that got shipped earlier. Whatever we're shipping right now will get implemented next quarter and so on. So I think from a point of view, yes, as Sumit mentioned, that proportionally it was wrong, but not what you're indicating. And our focus is growth over there. There is already a backlog of international that you see, and all the efforts are on to really grow that business.
Understood. The second question was, I think, a follow-up to what earlier participants have kind of also alluded to, and this is for both Anand and Sumit. You guys currently are sitting on about 500 odd crore of net cash. Your working capital is something around 1,300 crore. You still have 8,000 plus crore of domestic, predominantly public sector execution to do. Is there a kind of a risk of requirement of additional fundraise maybe in the coming years to fulfill the requirements, or do you think the payment timelines will be comfortable enough for you to convert this into cash and not require incremental money for working capital? And I would also want to throw in because this would not leave any flexibility for potential inorganic scaling up for Tejas. So if you can just help us understand, is this something which might require incremental funding?
So, currently we don't envisage any equity funding requirement. Like you rightly mentioned, the increase in working capital requirements are there, and they're expected to be there for the next few months as we execute these large contracts. But these are generally going to be a short-term funding arrangement, short-term facilities that we would intend to look at as compared to longer sources of capital like equity or anything else. Also, as we go along, we expect to continue our focus on collections and that should help us in managing this working capital as we go along. Also, from the point of view of investments in particular, I think the way we see it currently, the business should be able to meet its future growth aspirations based on the current expectations out of the business. We don't expect any incremental equity right now in the immediate term to be required.
Understood. And the final one was for Anurag. Anurag, you mentioned about again the impact of the products which kind of got expensed out this quarter. But if I look back at the history of the business, we have never had this high kind of equipment or raw material cost in our business, even though we have previously had cases or instances where we shift project product profiles which were relatively lower profits. Is this something which is partially also on account of the deliveries which we are making on BSNL? Ergo, our gross margins should remain below where we have historically seen going forward as well? Or, am I reading too much into this?
Yeah. I think you're reading a little bit too much into this. I think the reason you're seeing it now and didn't see it for smaller is because our overall business for wireline has also gone up, right? So if you see, if the overall business has increased, then the proportion of the low margin component of the network and the high margin of the component of the network would have also gone up, right? And it just happened that it's more of a timing issue that in this quarter, a lot more of the low margin component got shipped and the other component will get shipped subsequently. So it is, I hope that answers that question. That while, yes, on a smaller revenue base, you saw the effect of the blended margin of the network. On a larger base, you're seeing the effect of only the lower margin part. I mean, not the only, I would say the predominantly, it became the lower margin part. So that's about it. I think nothing more than that.
Understood. No, that's clear. Thanks for taking my question. I'll get back into the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hiren Kumar Thakurlal Desai, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving the opportunity. I have two questions. One of them is again related to the margin. So our gross margin has been declining as pretty much everybody has mentioned. I mean, do we see the sort of bottom around this place, or now see the significant chunk of the business will be dominated by BSNL supplies only? So, I mean, does it have anything to do with this margin profile? Are we around the bottom? I'm not asking for any guidance or number. That's it.
So as Sumit explained, so there are two parts of the business. One is the wireline and the wireless part. So the wireline business, you basically know what our overall company gross margins are, as has been done in the past. So there is no change to that, except that as we talked about the blend of margin that happens across different products. The wireless project that we have, the large one, has for slightly lower margin. That's also something we have talked about in the past. But this will get offset by the higher volume of the business, right? So that's about it. And there is nothing in terms of that's the overall story about the margin. There are two components. One where there is a margin protection, and we will continue with. Overall, we don't see any impact overall to that on the wireline side. And wireless, at least for this project, with a large volume, will have slightly lower margins, but will get offset by the higher volume.
The second part is about the currency movement. So now, especially this wireless part, for the sales, I assume, contract or sales or whatever is in rupees, but this most of the components in dollars. Is the company doing something?
We lost you. Could you repeat the question, please? We lost the first part.
The question is, so next few quarters, the revenue profile will be dominated by BSNL 4G business. And I am assuming that, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm assuming that our revenues will be in rupees, contract to the value. But the raw material is in dollars, right? We import the component. So are we doing something to protect margin in that aspect?
Protection of
So basically, forest management, and I'll let Sumit answer that question.
So I could only partly hear. I think what you're saying is while our revenues are going to be in rupees, our procurement is in dollars, and how are we? From a forest management point of view, I think we actively hedge our exposure through various instruments. We continue to monitor the currency risk or the currency exposure that we have, and we suitably hedge our short to medium term exposures in particular as we go along.
I'd also like to add that especially for our BSNL radio products, we've done a significant amount of localization of the components that go into the product. A lot of the costly portion which are there, I mean not the electronic components, but there are many other components that go into the radio design. And we have significantly localized that, and a lot of our partners are manufacturing in India, or we have original Indian manufacturers who are who we have used in our design. So I think while there is a significant dollar component, it is not as dominating as you would expect because of the amount of localization that we have done in the product.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Ansari from Hyderabad Investment Forum. Please go ahead.
Yeah. My question is with regard to 4G technology for the BSNL that we have developed. There are a lot of questions in the market with regards to how effective or how developed the technology is. Recently, the BSNL Telecom Employees Union has written to the minister, telecom minister, that our technology is not up to the mark and that is causing delay in rollout of 4G by BSNL. Similar questions were raised by the opposition in the parliament also, that the indigenous technology which the government is promoting is subpar and not up to the mark. So there is a lot of questions regarding our efficacy of our technology that we have developed. Can you explain in detail, means are we up to the mark, or how is it compared, how are we performing vis-a-vis our competitors? Some explanation is needed on this issue, because as investors, we are having a lot of concerns on this particular point. Everybody seems to be blaming Tejas only.
Yeah, so what I'd like to add, and I'll also ask Kumar to add to this. So this technology has gone through extensive trials. Okay, it's like more than a year of trials have happened over a large test bed in the north, okay, in Punjab. And this has been selected after pretty heavy proof of concept, field trials, quite a lot of amount of traffic running on the network. So from a technology point of view, I don't think there is any concern. I think I've only just recently heard about things that have come. I mean, there was, from whatever we have seen in terms of network build out kind of thing, I think whatever I have heard is in terms of the pace of the network build out more than the actual technology itself. And this technology has been tried and tested and compared with even the world class the leading foreign vendors in terms of performance and robustness has been tried and tested, and only after that have the contract been awarded to the consortium. So there is no issue with respect to that. I think the project rollout is where I think they're concerning in terms of getting the network rolled out in time so that they can grow their business around it. So on whatever I've seen, and that seems to be the issue.
Yeah, I have a follow-up question also. We are supposed to get an order from supply of equipment from ITI. Only TCS has released the purchase order. Why has the ITI order not come? Means we are supposed to be the ones who are supplying equipment for both ITI and TCS. Can you give some clarification on that?
So we had discussed earlier also that the ITI order is coming through TCS. So whatever is the 100,000 plus site order that we are working on, that includes the ITI component also.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
You are audible, sir. You may proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is more on your international side. Can you offer me some qualitative comments on business development effort on international side? Basically, what kind of traction you are getting over there, or can you also highlight in terms of how our product, particularly wireless, getting perceived in international market? Where are we in our business development journey, or when can you expect some significant win in those markets? And why I'm asking, because once in next 18 or 24 months you are done with BSNL or some part of BharatNet, probably it's a traction in international market which will keep our revenue momentum on. So that's the context.
So I think very, very valid question, and we are also cognizant of that. And a lot of investment is happening just to not only from a direct investment from our side in terms of investing in presence of sales teams and support teams and all those kind of things, but we are also using our partnership with the Tata Group companies, you know, TCS and Tata Communications and TCTS and all those kind of things, and using those channels and partnerships as well to get access to customers across the globe. So we have seen initial traction. There have been bids that we have worked together with them, and there are many other customers where we've got connected to with instructions and all, where we have been able to access. So we are also, apart from our direct business development, I mean, leveraging the brand and the relationships of the group as well, right? Except that, in this business, any business development, any significant results takes time. So while we are focusing on the smaller network opportunities where we can get in quickly and do our business, we are also working, with group companies as well as directly for the larger opportunities in, tier one operators across the globe. So, the focus is there, and we hope to see results, sometime down the line. I mean, we are just conscious of the fact that these things take time and effort, and once we have significant breakthroughs in some markets, the replicating them in those areas becomes that much easier, and that's what our focus is on. Right.
So in your initial discussion with customer, can you give some qualitative input in terms of how we are getting perceived in those markets post we are doing this DSNL order bet? And I understand it, business development takes time, but internally when you guys are thinking, how far we must be from a good win, a sizable win? And just need your qualitative inputs.
So maybe I can take this. So as Atul said, this is going to take time. That's number one. The second thing is, I think we have to get to a point where there is a reasonable size rollout in BSNL, because everybody is watching. We are doing it for the first time here. So I think when that happens, then I think people will be more interested in doing, proof of concept trials and all other good stuff. So again, our focus is going to be twofold. One is developing countries, and there are lots of them in Africa, in Southeast Asia and other places, but also in developed countries where there are rip and replace programs, where we can definitely will have an opportunity to participate. But I think net takeaway is, everybody is going to be watching this, and when we pull this off, then I think the doors will open up.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sohan Joshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, we're audible.
Just one question. When will we be able to monetize our Renaissance strategic partnership? I mean, are we looking at the revenue after the BSNL project is executed? And what will be approximately R&D spend? Is the R&D spend currently which is getting reflected is of the Renaissance partnership, or it will get recognizing the PNL from the subsequent quarters?
Partnership, what are you referring to?
Renaissance.
No, I don't think anything over here is reflective of any partnership for this
Renaissance. No.
It's not. I mean, those are all just technology partnership like we have with many other people for leveraging technology and co-development and stuff like that, but the results over here are not connected to our partnership with Renaissance.
Yeah. We have time for one last question.
That's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranjit, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a question about this margin blend and product mix. So the question is, do we have any strategic business product plan for enhancing the margin mix? And the second part of the question is, are the low margin products a necessity for winning higher margin business? And if so, is there any plan to partner with a third party so that the company focuses on more on the higher margin? That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you. So let me take a stab at this. So a couple of things. As a OEM company, we will always constantly look at our products to see how we can make it faster, better, cheaper. And there are many ways to do it, with alternate designs, with, you know, working with our suppliers. So that is a work, always constant work in progress. So that's number one. Then in order to win deals like this, it is always good to have a complete portfolio where it makes sense. And also, we are definitely open and, you know, where if it does not make, you know, cost sense for us to build it on, and, you know, we can partner and outsource it from someone, we will definitely look at it, you know, all the time. So it's actually a combination of all of these three. And, you know, finally, it, you know, once you have a complete portfolio, then, you know, it increases the chances of, you know, winning a deal. But also, it also helps in, you know, how we can structure the deal.
So in terms of business wins or the, you know, the plan for business win, is there any conscious effort in controlling this mix of low and high margin?
Any deal, any network that we supply for, we have a mix of low margin and high margin, as I said, right? So we have, you know, the all aspects of the portfolio. So that's why when we ship all of the products in a network, the blended margin is what you see usually in our reports kind of thing, right?
Yes.
So it's not a question of that we ship low margin products and we are looking for high margin products. I mean, we have the entire portfolio, which is a combination of margin profile of low margin of the lower cost products and higher margin for the high cost products.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess
we have no further questions, sir. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anand Athreya for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. So, as I said, you know, in my opening statement, we had a strong revenue growth quarter, and Tejas will continue to focus on investment and execution, because I think we have a job to deliver. We have large opportunities and commitment to our customers, and we will continue to focus on execution. And I'm really happy with the progress that we made on wireless. You know, in terms of, as Arnav said in the beginning, you know, the band 1, the band 28, and the dual band radios, they're all actually looking good and well. So I think you know, that gives us a lot more confidence and optimism that, you know, we're ready, you know, to take off, right? And the optical products also are getting delivered. So the last couple of quarters, we've been focusing on building all of this and delivering at, you know, with volume and scale. So I think that stage is being set, and, you know, you will start to see the effects of that in the coming quarters, right? And last but not the least, supply chain always used to be a problem. Now, you know, I think it's in reasonably good state. You know, there are some long lead items, but I think it's more predictable and in more control than it's ever been since I'm here. With that, I would like to close this call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.